Happy Sabbath, church. If you don't know who this person is, he's actually my older brother. So it's good to be looked after. Thanks, bro. Oh, it's good to be back with our Wantirna Church family. What a blessing to be able to see old faces and new faces here today. And right now my heart is in the spirit of worship, and I'm just wanting to soak it in right at this moment. And I kind of just want to say a prayer, say amen, and then finish. Because the worship itself and every segment of what we've had before me has just been so, so uplifting. And so I won't do that, but we will spend some time in prayer. Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, you are so good. And we're here today because of you. And as we explore this particular topic of quality time, may our hearts be open and receptive to what it means for each of us to be able to ask ourselves the question, what is required for us to be able to have quality time, not only with each other, most importantly, with you. Guide us, Holy Spirit, fill us, guide and direct our thoughts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the baby dedication, so thank you so much for allowing us to be in, you know, to be able to have the opportunity to have your kids dedicated here. Just feel like just grabbing one of the kids and just, you know, walking with them, which is what I'll probably do, but I won't do that. We've just finished a series on small groups, or looking at groups and what that means in Scripture. And so this next series that we're going to be looking at is looking at the five languages. And the first one we'll be looking at is quality time. Now, you might be asking the question, why are we going into these five languages? Why are we exploring this particular, these topics or the love languages? Now, when it comes to getting together, we can easily get together. And that's what we've done. But we want to be able to take you on a journey where we can not only connect horizontally with each other, but we want to go and take it in a depth, in a deeper type of way on how we can actually learn to connect with each other deeply. Does that make sense? And so that's what we're going to explore today. And today my topic and my responsibility is just to present to you quality time. And many of us have this idea of what quality time is, and we're going to explore that today, okay? And so the topic there is quality time, and I've added this title because basically quality time and the rest of our five love languages that our pastoral team will explore is for us to learn how to love well and love better. And so exploring the definition of what time is, thank you to Google. Google's really good, isn't it? So then you can just type it up. But basically, the definition of time is the measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. It's the duration. Also, the definition of time is a non-spatial continuum that is measured in terms of events which succeed one another from past through to present to future, ongoing. When we look at the definition of quality, an adjective that's describing time, it is a characteristic or feature of someone or something. So let's just pause with those two definitions, as we take a look and combine them together, what is the definition of quality time that we're wanting to explore today? And according to Cambridge Dictionary, it says, time that you spend with someone, giving them your what? Your full attention because you value the relationship. Now, I'm going to repeat this again because this is going to be challenged as I ask you different questions and as I present our topic today. This is something that you need to reference. So the definition, once again, time that you spend with someone, giving them your full attention because you're the person who values the relationship. I've got a bit of an echo. Is that right? Is everyone hearing the same thing? Can we just turn the echo down, please, and just make the adjustment? So in this first part, can you hear me? Yes? I probably can speak without a microphone, but I might lose my voice by the time. So what we're going to do as we continue looking at quality time, we're presented with this first focus, and the focus is you and me and our quality time with who? With God. So we're looking at us and our quality time with God. Now, in Gary Chapman's Five Love Languages, his book, bestseller, amazing book, if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it, he describes that quality time for some people, nothing says I love you like your full, undivided attention. Does that make sense? And so here's just something for, you know, an animation that you can have a look to see what it looks like when you're being ignored or not, someone's not giving your full, giving you their full attention. So who's ever been in a situation where someone is talking to you or you're talking to someone and then they just start, okay. Who's been in that situation? Or who's been the one who's done that to somebody else? Guilty as charged, here, right here. Now, if we are to grow in spending quality time with God, there's two questions that I'm proposing today for our church. And we'll first explore the first one that's underlined, and then we'll move into the next one. And the question is, what or who do you spend quality time in and with? What or who do you spend quality time in and with is the first question that we will be exploring. Now, let me propose to you that quality time is a form of worship. Quality time is a form of worship. How so? Because the challenge with quality time is that the unconscious things that we spend quality time in, now I need you to think about this carefully, the things that you spend unconsciously in your mind, that time allocated to that, is ultimately what we worship without realizing. Did that go over your heads, or do I need to repeat it?
Let me repeat it again. The unconscious things we spend quality time with is ultimately what we worship without realizing. Let's explore it a bit more. David Foster Wallace, Los Angeles Times, declared one of the most influential writers, an agnostic, and was speaking, did a speech on atheism and worship. And he says this, is now exploring this idea of quality time being worship. And he says this, because here's something else that's weird but true. In the day-to-day trenches of life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. Remember, the definition of quality time is what you spend your time on. The only choice we get is what to worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship, be it Jesus Christ or Allah, be it Yahweh or the Wicked Mother Goddess or the Four Noble Truths, or some inviolable set of ethical principles, is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. Let's continue. If you worship money, this is what David is saying in this speech. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough, never feel you have enough. It's the truth. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. On one level, we all know this stuff already. It's been codified as myths, proverbs, cliches, epigrams, parables, the skeleton of every great story. The whole trick is keeping the truth up front in daily consciousness. He continues with this, worship power. You will end up feeling weak and afraid, and you will need ever more power over others to numb you to your own fear. He continues, worship your intellect, being seen as smart. You will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. But the insidious thing about these forms of worship is not that they're evil or sinful, it's that they're unconscious. They are default settings. They're the kind of worship you just gradually slip into day after day, getting more and more selective about what you see and how you measure value without ever being fully aware that that's what you are doing. As we take what it is that David has shared and we move into the story of the Samaritan woman found in John 4, Jesus goes and meets the Samaritan woman, goes out of his way because he is what? He's actually thirsty. Physically, he's looking for something to drink. So he moves into the direction of where Samaria is, where this woman is, meets this woman who's a Samaritan woman, and confronted. The woman is confronted because Jews and Samaritans, do they get along? Nah, they don't even get along. So there's this confrontation of tension that is now happening between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, traditions, cultures. You're a Jewish male. Why are you asking? This is her constant experience, and that's why she's presenting this question in this way. Jesus presents, as the story continues, Jesus presents not just water, but living water. And the woman, the Samaritan woman, in her response is thirsty. So she responds and says, give me this water, responding to the physical water that she continues to go and fetch, so I will not be thirsty or that I won't come here. Now, here's what's interesting, and We started off with defining what quality time is. We've now made a proposal that quality time is a form of worship. In the story of the Samaritan woman, you may be asking, what does that have to do with worship? What does that have to do with quality time? In this story, the quality time or the amount of time that the Samaritan woman spent on defining herself by seeking help or seeking support was always with males. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, church? Because here you have a woman, a Samaritan woman, who we could possibly say, hey, this lady hasn't lived a morally good life. Therefore, she needs Jesus. So her quality time is spent exploring options about trying to fill not being good enough. So the makeup of the moral deficit of how she is feeling is to try and get her to save herself by finding it in men. Let's go to the story of Nicodemus and Jesus in John 3. You have a teacher, you have a leader in the church or in the synagogue. He's well known. He's lived a good life. He's done everything right. Morally, lived really, really well. But then Jesus, as he's having a conversation with Jesus, Jesus says to him, you must be born again. And so Nicodemus asked the question, what do you mean? What's born again? It's confused him. And here's the interesting part is that when you look at the analogy of being born again, not necessarily there's a spiritual component that Nicodemus is talking about, but being born naturally. Is there anything that you come into this world with? That's my question to the church. When you are born naturally, which is what we are all, we're here because we have been born, yes? Would that be correct? So because we're born, my question is, did you come into this world with anything? Did you do anything to be able to be born to then enter into this world? Nothing. So therefore, the born again component of what Jesus is providing Nicodemus is that not only were you not born, not only were you born and you came with nothing, in order to be born again, there is absolutely nothing that you can do. Because born again is an acceptance of what God has done. And so here Nicodemus doesn't feel the need to be saved because he's morally good. He's done everything right. Therefore, he can save himself. But here's the thing. Jesus' approach with both the Samaritan woman and Nicodemus, they're both different approaches. But guess what? They are very much needing the same thing. In the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, this is now adding more to the quality time that it takes for us to spend with God. And in this particular graph that you see in front of you, Peter Scazzero is presenting a stage of how faith is developed. So stage one, you have this life-changing awareness of God. Stage two, you've got discipleship and you're learning. Stage three, you've got the active life where you're serving and you're doing things for God. And then you'll notice there that it says there's a war. And then stage four is the journey inward. Stage five is the journey outward from inner life to out. Stage six is transform into love. Now, let me just share what it is that Peter Scazzero writes in his book about the wall. For most of us, the wall appears through a crisis that turns our world upside down. It comes perhaps through a divorce, a job loss,
the death of a close friend or family member, a cancer diagnosis, a disillusioning church experience, a betrayal, a shattered dream, a wayward child, a car accident, an inability to get pregnant, a deep desire to marry that remains unfulfilled, a spiritual dryness, or a loss of joy in our relationship with God. We question ourselves, God and the church. We discover for the first time that our faith does not appear to work. We have more questions than answers as the very foundation of our faith feels like it's on the line. We don't know where God is, what he is doing, where he is going, how he's getting us there, or when this will be over. The wall is not simply a one-time event that we pass through and get beyond. It appears to be something we return to as part of our ongoing relationship with God. The wall happens when you have a relationship with God, you've been serving, you've been doing things, and then all of a sudden it feels like that everything that you have been doing from what your Christian principles have, but you've been taught as you've developed in your journey with God, when you hit that wall, that happens in your relationship with God. And the reason why I present this war to you, because many of us, and what the book is proposing as well, is that many Christians do not progress beyond the war. They come up with difficulties of what is happening in life, and they never go beyond the war. So it then just becomes what I do, what it is that I am doing. And that's it. And so that wall is telling us, and it's actually providing us an awareness that in your relationship with God, you are going to experience not just one wall, but many walls. The relationship and the journey with God is not easy, but you're going to experience those walls. It's not about doing church and doing things safely so that way you can come in, look the part, dress up, and then go home and you have to deal with your walls. Let's be real, church. Because the reality is many of us are facing walls and we're not willing to admit it. Quality time, in the definition that we are exploring, allows you to bring your walls to God because he is the only one. He is the only one that can get you through the wall. He is the only one that is going to provide you the tools and the equipment and the empowering to be able to help you get through the wall. But it's not necessarily about getting through the wall. It's just knowing that God is there with you to be able to journey with you at the beginning of the wall, through the wall, and even possibly come out whenever that's going to happen. That's the wall. And it continues to present itself in such a way that stops us from being able to move forward in our relationship with God. The challenge as presented earlier is quality time, is the unconscious things we spend quality time with, is ultimately what we worship without realizing. Meaning, when you spend quality time with God, this is not just about ticking the box. It reveals unhealthy attachments. It reveals things about you that are deeply rooted inside of you at an unconscious level. The Christian disciplines that you have been trying to maintain and keep up to date with in order to just maintain this relationship with God, it can't survive the wall. It can't get through the wall because the only one that can get you through the wall is Jesus. Amen.
So if that's what it looks like to spend quality time with God, flip it on the other side. What does it look like for God to spend quality time with you? Keeping in mind what our definition is. The question when looking at God spending quality time with us that you need to ask yourself as we establish this is, why do we need to do it? Why is it important? Why is it important for you as we explore what it looks like for God to have quality time with us? John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world. What? We're talking about quality time. We're talking about love language at the highest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only what? Begotten Son. He gave something of himself. That's ultimate sacrificial, other-centered love at its highest. To save who? To save you and me, to save this world. Let's go to Genesis 1. In the beginning, remember, I'm now giving you some things about God that's going to share with you quality time on his end that's establishing him as the person who first gave quality time. In the beginning, who was there? God created the heavens and the earth. Let's have a look. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 13. I love this. Beloved, amplified version. Beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. That first highlighted, underlined, can't really see it. For love is from God. Whew. And everyone who loves others, bracket, is born of God and knows God. That's personal experience. You can't make it up. You can't tick it off the list. It's personal, intentional, deep experience. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, doesn't know him, for God is love. By this, the love of God was displayed in us in that God sent his one and only begotten Son, truly unique. And this is love, not that we loved first, but that God loved who? God loved us and sent his Son to as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved, we also ought to love. It's because God loved us first, we also ought to what? So therefore, it's establishing that in order for you to be able to love someone else, you need to be connected to the source of love because you do not naturally love. Full stop. End story, exclamation mark. Go home, say amen. Because if you are giving yourself credit that you have the ability to love, scripture is telling you you don't. Because naturally, we don't do this. We're good at loving people who are able to reciprocate that love towards us. That's where we're good. But if somebody is constantly, you know, like, anyone have any road rage experiences on the way to church this morning? Did you love the driver when you overtook them? Or when you got up this morning because you were running late and maybe your shirt wasn't ironed and then you went off at your wife because something wasn't done right? Was that showing love? I can see some fingers being pointed. What's going on here? When you woke up and the kids weren't getting ready that fast and you were getting frustrated because you needed to be at church, needed to be here for Sabbath school, needed to make sure you were here on time, were you loving in that way? I'm presenting you situations because it just takes one thing to stir us. Therefore, it doesn't become unconditional in the way that God loves. It becomes what? Conditional. I love this psalm. Psalm 139, more quality time explaining more about God. Where can I go from your spirit or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. Whew. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of death, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the night will be the only light around me. Whoa, check this out. Even the darkness is not dark to you and conceals nothing from you. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is dark enough for God. But the night shines as bright as the day. darkness and light are alike to you. Psalms 139, 14 to 15. Quality time on God's part. For you formed me. For you formed my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give praise, not because of anything that I have done. I will give praise and thanks to you, for I am what? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on, family. I am fearfully and that's what God is saying about you. That's quality time that He's already establishing by presenting that particular fact to you. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Then it continues on in verse 23, 24. This is the reality, and this is an aspect of the war that we've actually explored a little bit today. And it says, search me thoroughly. Now, search me a little bit. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked or hurtful ways in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. Quality time is what God is establishing, and because of the fall, He's revealing to you that this is your condition, and in order for Him to be able to help you, you are required to spend time with the one who not only creates, but is responsible for your recreation. That only happens in quality time. Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who are what? Come on, church. Come unto me, all you who are what? Weary, and I will give you. God is promising that for our church. The walls that we put up are stopping us from being able to experience what it is that God truly wants for us. Romans 5, yet while we were still sinners, God what? God died. John 14, but the helper, here's the thing, here's the most beautiful promise. John 14, verse 6, but the helper, who gave the helper? God gave the helper. Whoa. So quality time is God establishing everything for you and for me. And all you got to do is just dwell in the presence of what God has gifted you and I. Quality time, our difficulty with having quality time is that we tend to think that it's us that starts quality time with God. No, God started it with you and me. Way before your creation, way before time, He started it. He's established it. Now you just got to grow in your awareness of what God wants you to experience in the qualitative time of what He is longing to have with you. And here's the thing. You long for it too, but you're caught up with placing everything else, worshiping other things, and filling that void that only God can fulfill. Can I hear an amen? Do not be anxious. Has anyone said that to you? Do not be anxious. Because no one has the same amount of oomph that God is promising. You, don't be anxious. Cast all your anxiety on me because why? Because I care for you. What are the walls that we as our church members are experiencing in our Christian walk with God? Because if all of these things God is establishing, why is it that we are struggling to be able to move progressively in our journey with God? That's a question that you can only ask by engaging God through His Spirit to be able to help reveal this to you. Quality time, it doesn't start with you. It always started with God. It always begins with God,
So therefore, God is the maker and the creator of quality time. And he knows you and what you need, and that is him. So therefore, when I ask you this question again, what does quality time look like for you and me? It can look like something like this. Because of what God has done, it is your response, because of what God has done, to be able to spend quality time with God because of what he's done for you. It's not about boasting, because you and I can't boast. We've got nothing to boast about. But it's an experience of quality presence and time with him. And so quality time can look like what I've listed there. I'm kind of racing through. But it's a reminder of what God has first established in order for you to realize that the only reason why God is asking you for quality time is because it's your response for what he first done. Jesus, in his example here on earth, craved quality time with God. And you can see some of these examples here on our screen. He withdrew in order to be able to pray and be with God. And so here is what it can look like as you continue to grow in your quality time with God. Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. With deepest longing, I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs and sighs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have gazed upon you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. As the deer pants for the water, my soul longs for you. My soul thirsts for you. And when you look at the Hebrew word, it's referring to a person's life or self that's used in the psalm. And here's the interesting part, is that if God is the originator of quality time, love language, here is something that should be a warning to all of us. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 8 says this, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things have fervent love for one another." The challenge, as Matthew 24, verse 12 is sharing with us, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. If you are disconnected with God at a depth that you need to be with God, the reality is you are susceptible to the point where your love can actually grow cold. You might be right with your theology, you might be right with all of those things, but if you can't love the way that God loves, then you will be one of those whose love will grow cold. It's a challenge for all of us, myself included, because we don't know how to love unless we're connected to the source of love. As our praise team, the rest of our singers come forward, I just want to share two songs, and then we'll finish off with a beautiful hymn, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." These two songs I grew up singing, and I always used to sing them. Now they have so much depth and meaning. The first song is Only Jesus Can Satisfy Your Soul. Some may be familiar with it. And the lyrics say, the world may try to satisfy all that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world whole, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you've found the Lord. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can take your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And the second song and final song. I could never outlove the Lord. The chorus says, I'm going to live the way He wants me to live. I'm going to give until there's just nothing to give. I'm going to love till there's just no more love. I love the last line. I could never, never outlove the Lord. So as we've established the foundation of love and quality time, the question is, what does quality time with God look like for each of you? What is the Holy Spirit revealing to your hearts when it comes to quality time with God? As you reflect, I want you to just sit there. And I want you to just ask God right now, through His Spirit, Lord, reveal to me the things that are stopping me from being able to have quality time with You. Quality time is a question that we can ask ourselves to God to engage Him. Lord, teach us. Teach us how to love well and love better. People will know that we are disciples of Him by the way that we love each other. Stay in your seats as we sing together, My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine.